Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's precious word for our meditation this morning is the Thomasius Epistle text chosen for this day, which we find in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, which read as follows. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of poor, lost, and condemned sinners, beloved hearers of his wonderful word. As we approach the end of another church year, another year of grace, in which we poor sinners reflect in gratitude upon our redemption by Jesus Christ from the curse of the law, from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, and rejoice in the fact that by God's grace we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, it behooves us to consider this morning what it means to be spiritually alive and at the same time dead indeed unto sin. You recall, of course, from the third chapter of the book of Genesis that our first parents, Adam and Eve, who were created holy and righteous before God in the beginning, how that Adam and Eve, by their flagrant disobedience of God's very simple and clear prohibition not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, plunged themselves and all mankind after them into sin, into a state of enmity against God, into spiritual death as the result of their transgressions, and into the condemnation of eternal death as the wages of sin. You and I were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. We were by nature fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that is, simply doing our own thing, whether God liked it or not, in opposition to his will. And so we were spiritually dead in sins. But Paul writes in verses 4 and 5 of Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened means, quite simply, he made us alive again. He rescued us from spiritual death and literally resurrected us from that spiritual death and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. All because of his mercy. Just because he loved us that much. His Holy Spirit called us by the gospel, by that powerful, wonderful news of God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. He called us out of darkness, out of the darkness of spiritual ignorance and despair, into his marvelous light, Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 2. He turned the lights on for us, spiritually speaking. He gave us the saving knowledge of Christ, our Redeemer, who as our substitute kept all of God's law perfectly in our place and suffered the penalty of our sins in his own suffering and death upon the cross. So that now we trust and believe, rejoice, and take comfort in him. In our text for today, we learn that true believers are spiritually alive in Christ, risen with him, resurrected with him to new spiritual life, renewed in him to live not unto ourselves, but to live unto him, and partaking of him in glory. Paul writes to the Colossians in our text, in the first verse, "If ye then be risen with Christ." He writes that to the Colossian Christians. He writes that also to us. The word "if" here in the Greek of the text does not signify an uncertainty. It doesn't signify a matter of doubt, but it signifies an accomplished fact. We would say in modern English today, since. Since we, who were dead in trespasses and sins, are now alive again, we enjoy the fruits of Christ's own mighty resurrection from the dead on the third day. That like as he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, Christ's resurrection from the dead on Easter morning was not just an incident in history, as things that happen to us along life's way here in this world are just incidents in our history. But Christ's real and literal physical resurrection from the dead, certainly contrary to what anyone would have expected, given the fact that his real and literal death on the cross 3 days earlier had taken place, his resurrection was the seal, the surety, the guarantee that what he had accomplished for the redemption of this world was solid with God. It was the evidence. It was the proof that God the Father in heaven had accepted the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, as payment in full for the sins of the world, so that God could then be merciful to you, to me, and to all mankind by declaring unilateral reconciliation of all sinners unto himself. A miracle, if there ever was one. As the beneficiaries of Christ's resurrection, as those who, the Apostle Paul says, are risen with Christ from death unto life, as those who not only have been partakers of Christ's death, because after all, it was our sins for which he died on that accursed tree of the cross, but since we are all partakers in the likeness of his resurrection, as heirs forever of life in heaven, the Apostle says in our text, we should be seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Here in this world, most people are simply living for themselves. They're looking out for themselves. They're taking care of themselves. And judging by their words and by their actions, they don't care about anybody else but themselves. The Apostle Paul says, if you're really risen with Christ, if you've really been given a new life, act like it and seek those things which are above. Seek the heavenly things, the pure things, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You see, because of Christ's resurrection from death to life, because of our resurrection from death to life in our conversion to faith in Jesus as our Savior, our real citizenship, as we heard in the epistle lesson read before, where we really have our roots, where we really belong as citizens of heaven, is in heaven itself. Because that is our ultimate destination of life everlasting, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, Paul says. Our citizenship here in this world lasts, what, 60, 70, 80 years at best? And then we're gone. We haven't just disappeared. We who have been resurrected to life in Christ Jesus, our citizenship is in heaven, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God in eternal glory and power and dominion. And that's what we should be seeking, Paul says in our text. That the end of our life here in this world and the end of our faith, the fruit of our faith, is what we should be looking for. It is what we should be eagerly anticipating. Eternal blessings of Christ's heavenly kingdom. As we sing with the hymn writer, there I shall dwell forever. No more a parting guest. With all thy blood-bought children in everlasting rest. The pilgrim toils here in this world. The pilgrim toils forgotten. The pilgrim conflicts, or over and done with. All earthly griefs behind us. And there are a lot of those. Eternal joys before. And now the apostle points out the evidence that in our lives already here in this world shows both to ourselves and to those who observe our attitudes and our conduct that true believers in Christ have been renewed in Him to live unto Him. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. This world of ours in which we live is sick. This world in which we live is dead. This world in which we live is mean, mean-spirited, and cold-hearted. And the children of this world who live for this world and whose lives are conformed to this world, whose desires are stimulated by the lusts of the world, and whose attitudes reflect self-interest, self-righteousness, self-reliance, self-service, self-will, and self-dependency are minded or affected to serve the world. Its fleeting treasures, its vain pleasures, all of which the Apostle John writes in his first epistle, shall pass away. They'll pass away completely at the end of this world. Many of those things pass away even now in this world. The commercial says, what's in your safe? We're supposed to buy gold to put in our safe? What good does gold get you when you're stricken with Alzheimer's disease? When you're stricken with terminal cancer? When your family and friends desert you? When your fellow citizens persecute you? What does gold in your safe do you? It passes away, it's worth absolutely nothing. And so Jesus asks, rhetorically, in Matthew 16:26, what is a man profited? How does it affect his bottom line, we would say today, if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul, his spiritual life? Where your treasure is, Jesus says, there will your heart be also. So if your heart's not in it, if your heart is not seeking those things which are above, but your heart is just fixed on what's going on here in this rotten old world of ours, then you'll perish with the world. By contrast, the children of light, whose spiritual darkness has been dispelled by the knowledge of God's grace in Christ Jesus, those who have been converted to faith in Him, who seek their treasure in heaven, they set their affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2:17. He whose life is hid with Christ in God, Paul says in our text, who believes that God has given unto him eternal life in heaven for Christ's sake, whose treasure is in heaven, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For ye are dead, Paul tells the believers. He tells you and me. We're dead to the world. We're dead to the lusts of the world. We are dead to the treasures and pleasures of this sinful world. They don't mean anything to us. The resurrected new man of faith is dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:11. And yet, faith in the heart is invisible to men. And even our new spiritual life, our life of sanctification, is not always obvious to those round about us. And much to blame is our old, sinful, weak, and sniveling flesh. Our life is hid with Christ in God. We don't always let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Sad to say, we often act like and show forth attitudes that are more like the children of this world than the children of God. When we don't stand up to be counted, when words mean something, when we don't stand up and act, when actions mean something, and we simply assume that just because we have a cross on the front of our building or we wear a cross on our lapel that we're Christians, who don't really show forth the praises of Him who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our life in Christ should be a testament to the grace of God to a once spiritually dead sinner who is now resurrected and is vibrantly alive. People should be able to see that in us. But, St. Paul continues in our text, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Having been resurrected with him to new spiritual life, having been renewed in him to live unto him instead of ourselves, all true believers will partake of their risen Savior in glory. Is that something to be anticipated? Is that something to set our affection on? Is that something to look forward to? Indeed it is. We indeed partake of Christ even now by faith, because we are heirs of salvation. An heir is a person who, by reason of his relationship to someone, receives gifts upon that person's death. We're heirs of salvation. We're not in salvation now. We don't live in heaven now. More's the pity. But we are heirs of salvation. We have been washed by the cleansing water of holy baptism. We have been sanctified, made holy before God by the righteousness of Christ. We have been justified, made right with God because of Christ's perfect satisfaction of justice, all in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, 1 Corinthians 6:11. Christ is our life. He's everything to us. The writer to the Hebrews says that Christ is the author of eternal salvation. Christ invented eternal salvation for poor, wretched, miserable sinners who otherwise would go straight to hell in a handbasket. Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He didn't just make sure that we were brought to faith. He says, I promise to keep you in the true faith unto the very end, so that as heirs you can receive what you have been intended from the beginning, from the foundation of the world, to receive. The author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, the joy of being privileged to be the redeemer of sinful mankind, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, despising the blasphemy, despising the cruel words which were heaped upon him in addition to the suffering, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God since his mighty ascension into heaven. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, Paul writes in our text, on the last day when Christ comes in the clouds of heaven with his holy angels to judge both the living and the dead, then shall we also appear with him in glory. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those who died here in this world confiding in him as their Redeemer, will God bring with him. And then, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Having been resurrected with Christ to a new spiritual life, and having been renewed in Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost, who brought us to faith in Him and sanctified us to live unto Him, we who are Christians reckon, we figure, that the sufferings of this present time, and they may be greater or less for each individual, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. They simply don't belong in the same sentence. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, if we're really God's children by faith in Christ Jesus, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Made partakers of Christ's glory in heaven, where, Paul says, He sitteth on the right hand of God. What a blessed incentive to all true believers. What a blessed incentive to you and to me, beloved in the Lord, gratefully to celebrate in faith Christ's perfect life and His innocent suffering and death for our redemption from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. What an incentive for us to celebrate His mighty resurrection from the dead, that we may be His own as a result of our resurrection with Him, that we may live under Him and unto Him in His kingdom of grace here on this earth. Setting our affection, showing that what really counts for us is the things above and not the things on this earth. And that we may serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness in the glory of our heavenly home. O Christ, do Thou my soul prepare for that bright home above, that I may see Thee and adore with all Thy saints Thy love. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.